Money Talk.
Good evening, listeners. Welcome to today's Money Talk. I'm Arjun Chowdhury. Today, we will be having a discussion on West Asia crisis, current developments, and implications for India's energy security. We have former Ambassador Anil Trigunayath with us. So a warm welcome to you on this discussion.
Thank you very much. Namaskar.
For the benefit of our listeners on Akashvani, could you tell us what are the recent developments in the West Asia crisis and how do you see it leading to a peace talk?
Well, in the first place, it was just about 52 days ago, the world was very hopeful that there will be some kind of an agreement between Iran and the USA on the same lines as the previous Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action or the nuclear agreement that was signed. And we don't have to either believe the Iranians or the Americans, but the mediators who were the Omanis. So Omani foreign minister has been very openly telling that they had almost reached a conclusion. That's when on the very next day, we saw that Iran was attacked by Israel and the U.S. together and decapitating their top leadership, both the military as well as their supreme leader. Now, that is what caused this war to happen. And this was exactly the same playbook which happened in June 2025. But at that time, Iran had threatened that if it is attacked once again, it will be going after all the U.S. bases and assets in the region and Israel. And precisely within a very short time, less than, I think, 24 hours, they started attacking the U.S. bases in the region, Gulf countries, with which they have been actually mending fences, and there has been rapprochement happening. Now, the whole world has always wanted that there should be no war. Basically, there have been a conflict which is driven by Mad Syndrome, but the actual war has been avoided until very recently. The reason was that the United States understood that if this war goes out of hand, it can be disastrous and catastrophic for the world in terms of energy security, in terms of the silence of communications, and overall economy and the security, which become very tenuous in such a situation, and could even lead to a third world war. I mean, you never know. So this kind of situation was being avoided by the responsibility of the U.S. leadership, which did not really allow direct confrontation between the two countries, even though there were these covert operations on all sides, because Israel does not want Iran to become a nuclear power. And Iran does not recognize the existence of Israel and even follows the Palestinian cause and tries to support it against Israel. And it also has these proxies, which are called as the Hezbollah, the Houthis, the Hamas, and the Qatar Hezbollah in Iraq. So in four countries, so it provides us an asymmetric advantage. Since Israel has a very powerful military as well as intelligence services, it tried to decapitate the leadership both of Hezbollah, Hamas, and also that of Iran now. But they thought probably there was no strategy on the part of President Trump because there are so many shifting goals and objectives, and every day there is a new narrative. And they expected this to fold within a 3-4 days' time, basically. That's how I think President Trump was told, even though his military planners had informed him otherwise and advised against this adventurism or misadventure. But they went in, and we have seen what has happened. Now, Strait of Hormuz, which carries about 25% of the global energy supplies, itself has been closed. It's now double blockaded. The United States has also blockaded it from outside. So you have double blockade. But in the meantime, since the United States has been insisting or wanting to have an off-ramp, basically some kind of a face-saving, they went in for the ceasefire. And ceasefire, basically, they had already agreed more than 50% of the points during the previous negotiations. But then you have a tremendous trust deficit on all the three sides, actually. And therefore, we are not able to see much progress. We are seeing a lot of public vitriolic, and both sides, actually, have not kept any mincing of words. So we had the last negotiations, which happened for the first time at the highest level. In the United States, it was J.D. Vance who led the thing because the Iranians insisted that they would not directly talk to either Steve Witkoff or Jared Kushner. Jared Kushner is son-in-law of President Trump, and Steve Witkoff is his businessman friend and who is a special envoy. And they don't have much trust in him because earlier they've been negotiating with them. And every time this happened, they saw that they were attacked. So they wanted J.D. Vance, who apparently is not so keen on these wars himself. And he came. He talked, and from the Iranian side, we had their speaker, Ghalibaf, who led the talks, and the foreign minister. So they had a very big delegation. The talks, the thing is that now it is ending today, 21st, and we are still waiting. whether both delegations will land up in Islamabad or not, because it's still today. But I have a hope that there might be some kind of discussion or an extension of the ceasefire.
Well, the government is also closely monitoring the developments in West Asia, as we have discussed earlier. And let's now hear what Randeep Jaiswal, the foreign ministry spokesperson, has to say.
We've also continued with our outreach to countries in the Gulf region. This has been done on the directions of our Prime Minister. You would have seen 2 days ago, we had a National Security Advisor visiting Saudi Arabia. Prior to that, we had an External Affairs Minister paying a visit to UAE and a Minister of Petroleum visiting Qatar. In addition, we have had the Commerce and Industry Minister of India having several interactions with his counterparts in the Gulf region. All these are directed towards ensuring several issues that both sides, India and countries in the Gulf, are grappling with. The issues of energy, issues of a diaspora, other issues that are of mutual interest or concern.
West Asia crisis clearly has an impact on the economic growth, not only of the world, Asia, but India as well. And if you look at 20-25% of energy that transits through this choke point at the Strait of Hormuz, 80% of oil and gas is transiting for Asian supplies for oil and gas through this very choke point, which is 50 kilometers long at the Strait of Hormuz. So how do you see India mitigating this risk?
Well, as you know, that India depends for about 50% of its crude supplies from the region. Iraq, Saudi Arabia, UAE are major partners. As far as the gas is concerned, Qatar itself, which provides about 70-80% of our gas supplies. So therefore, it is extremely important that these channels of communications and the choke points remain open. And that's what precisely the government of India's position has been, that there should be a freedom of navigation. And Prime Minister Modi has been talking to all the leaders in the region. We have had our own ministers and national security advisor travel to the region to talk to everybody that there should be India has many other interests apart from the sea lanes of communication, supply, energy, and fertilizer supply. The most important component for us remains the presence of the Indian diaspora, which is roughly about 9.5 to 10 million people who are remitting about $70 billion a year. So it is extremely important for us to secure their safety, and that's what India is very much worried about. At the same time, since we are importing so much, we have diversified from various places, including Russia once again. We have even bought some oil from Iran recently for the first time after 2019. So I think that India is diversifying itself, trying to minimize the impact, and we have seen it so far. We also have some reserves. But then if the war prolongs or if war happens, then obviously it will have a very disastrous impact, not only on India, but the whole global economy. We are very much vulnerable to the developments in the region. It happened in 1973, it impacted us, 1991, we have seen it impacted us, and now in 2026 also, we have a very similar kind of an impact happen. So when you have the disruption of global value supply chains, it automatically have a cyclical impact on all your economic activity.
The global economy is being valued at $117 trillion, and ever since the war started on February 28, discussions have now centered around India's strategic petroleum reserves, which stands at 3.37 million metric tons out of a total capacity of 5.33 million metric tons. So 64% holding is being seen as of March 2026, and agency or the entity responsible is the ISPRL, which is the Indian Strategic Petroleum Reserves Limited. How do you see India ensuring that the holding is actually 100%? And at the same time, being able to procure oil, petroleum especially, at a reasonable price, because spot prices are anywhere between $120 and $190 per barrel. Whether you look at WTI, Brent, or any other brand of crude, including NYMEX.
Well, you are so right. In fact, this is what I was saying, that it increases the price, and then it becomes very, very non-competitive, and it has a spiraling impact on the other economic activities as well as on a socio-cultural milieu. So this is something that is the government of India has tried to have its reserves quite significantly. But at the same time, these reserves can last you maximum of 3 months. But we have to continue. So now what we have done is we have started getting more oil from Russia, which is there. We are also getting from the United States as well. And we are also getting from Africa. We are going to pump up getting in more from Africa. Secondly, we'll have to now think of enhancing our reliance more on the renewable energy from 500 to 750 gigawatt. So I think that there are so many things that can be done going forward that we'll have to enhance our reserves I just read that with UAE, we are trying to increase our creating some kind of reserves, even with Sri Lanka in their reserves. So this is, India is not only importing or supplying to itself. In the past also, it has stabilized the global market basically by importing from Russia. But at the same time, we are also supplying to Sri Lanka, we are supplying to Bangladesh, we are supplying to Nepal. And whoever in our neighborhood requires, we help them a great deal from that. So India believes in this kind of a regional custodian in a way for the safety and security of all our people. And this is something that adds a greater value to India's policies.
Well, since we've spoken about petroleum, there is also a focus on gas supplies from the Middle East, including from Qatar. And let's now hear how India is looking to ensure that there is no disruption in the supply of cooking gas, LPG, liquefied petroleum gas. Let's hear what Sujata Sharma, a joint secretary, Ministry of Petroleum, has to say.
West Asia crisis ke chalte hamara LPG supplies affect hue hain. International market mein bhi, chahe crude ho, chahe LPG ho, uske prices mein bahut increase dekha gaya hai, volatility dekhi gayi hai. Agar aap dekhen, January mein to hamara Indian crude basket lagbhag $63 per barrel tha, jo March mein badhkar $113 per barrel ho gaya, aur April mein abhi tak ka jo average hai, wo lagbhag $116 per barrel hai. Is sabhi ke bawajood bhi, Bharat Sarkar ki ye कोशिश रही है कि डोमेस्टिक सप्लाईज को सस्टेन्ड कंटिन्यू रखा जाए और उसमें किसी प्रकार का कोई डिसरप्शन ना हो. और इसी संदर्भ में मैं आपको ये बताना चाहूंगी कि हमारा डोमेस्टिक जो घरेलू किचन के लिए डोमेस्टिक एलपीजी सप्लाई है वो नॉर्मल है एज कम्पेयर टू विद रिस्पेक्ट टू द बुकिंग्स. और कोई भी एलपीजी डिस्ट्रीब्यूटर पर कोई ड्राई आउट रिपोर्टेड नहीं है.
To ensure that our energy basket is never affected, and we have a long-term plan all the way till 2047, which is also the timeline for Viksit Bharat. We have what is known as the IESS 2047, which is a tool developed by Niti Aayog, which maps energy demand and supply scenarios all the way up to 2047. Could you just give us an overview of what has been the background policy in case of such scenarios, or what's happening in West Asia right now?
Well, as you know that we always had this energy deficit. We import about 80 to 90% of our requirements from overseas. But what under this government, we have started basically focusing a great deal on diversification, not only to mitigate the climate change, but also to reduce the dependencies on the hydrocarbons. But this, since India is the fastest growing major economy, even today, it requires much greater energy all the time. Plus, we are the most populous nation in the world. I mean, we have these plans in place, but very often the geopolitical changes can derail those and can impact them adversely. And that's precisely what happens in a situation like this. That's why India wants safety, security and stability of West Asia, which is of existential nature for us. One additional point I want to tell you is, and it's may not look like a very sensible idea at this stage, but I think that, you know, as far as the gas, especially the domestic gas is concerned, once things stabilize, the government should probably consider not putting a cap on having only one cylinder or two cylinders. Let people have three, four, five, whatever they can afford and keep. And those cylinders then can become your reserves in situations like this so that you don't have a crisis situation at hand within 10 days or 15 days. So that's one of the ideas. Many countries have done that. So I think that this could be one of the ways where the people will be the conservators of the energy themselves while we are diversifying into different areas of our energy mix.
A final point on E85 flex fuel on vehicles where there's an ethanol blend. How do you see that working out? Very briefly.
Well, I think we have done remarkably well. I mean, I think Mr. Hardeep Puri, our minister, had said that, Prime Minister himself has said that there were more than 20% blending target that we had has already been achieved way before its time. So I think that the government is doing a great job on that.
Thank you, Mr. Anil Trigunayath, for being with us on this in-depth discussion on West Asia crisis, the current developments and implications for India's energy security.
Thank you.
You can listen to this program on our mobile app, News on AIR, and our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official.
Money Talk.